It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
It's a post-Socceroos podcast this morning.
Very happy in the studio.
Yes, very happy.
The Football Sack Podcast and three very proud Australians. Because the Socceroos have just gone down 3-1 to Chile, but played extremely well. So we're going to talk about that on today's show. We're also going to talk about the Netherlands' annihilation of the Spanish. And we've got an interview with former Socceroo Dean Heffernan later in the show as well. So strap yourselves in. We should thank Banking on Football, the major sponsors of this show. You can still win yourself a Socceroo supporter pack and be proud to wear it for the rest of the tournament by going to bankingonfootball.com/win and entering your details to be in the running. And we are recording at Southern Cross University Studios in Lismore. So thanks to them for that. Lads, let's jump right in to the Socceroos game this morning. Shaky start, but very good signs in the end.
Absolutely. I mean, it was actually really entertaining. That first 8 minutes was great from us, but I think we all knew that was going to drop off quite quickly. You know, Chile, you know, got their goal, and then they got the second goal, so two chances, two goals. We thought, oh, we're in trouble here. And, well, we were. The rest of that sort of second
half. I actually kind of relaxed when we went 2-0 down. I was nervous as hell when it started. When we were 2-0 down, I was like, good, the nasty bit's over.
I actually thought the floodgates were going to open big time. It just reminded me of that Brazil game. Was it last year or the year before?
Yeah.
And I just thought we were going to be 6-0 down by halftime.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you weren't the only one.
Yeah.
One of the worrying signs for me at the start was the fact how easily Chile were playing it from the back. Like, they were getting into our half every single attempt. And I thought, this is really strange. But as the half wore on, you realise what was going on. So Socceroos were doing that on purpose. They weren't even trying to stop them and get Chile coming into our own half. We win the ball, we hit them behind in the space. And it was smart counter-attacking. And it wasn't not exactly like Croatia, but it wasn't parking the bus, but it was counter-attacking in a nice way.
But that, where the thing is, like you say, waiting for them to come in, if we'd put our players forward, it's going to keep their defenders further back and cuts down the space that Lecky would have had to run into, who had a blinder of a game.
Yeah, correct. I mean, because that was, to be honest, that was our only strength, is the fact that we countered, we used that space behind effectively, and that's where our chances came from. So if we're going to actually press high, like the curriculum says, how most teams and coaches say, then we would have actually nullified our only advantage. And we wouldn't have had any chances. And as it turns out, you know, Lecky played really, really well. Bresciano had some good touches, and Cahill did what he did. And we got back in the game, and in that second half, honestly, I think it was our second half. Mm. We probably should have scored a few goals. And unfortunately, it didn't happen, but that's football. And the truth is, the signs for the future are very positive.
Yeah. Mm. This is the top level, though. There is no, oh, we didn't take our chance. Mind you, the Netherlands left a few on the field, but we'll talk about that later. You got to score. And if you don't score, this is exactly what happens, what we saw this morning. So, but we'll learn from that. I thought we were fantastic. I was really proud of that.
A lot of positive songs. Yeah. We actually had a lot of chances there. Probably we should have capitalised on at least a couple of them. But at the start of the game, weren't Chile really, really, like, on top of their game, weren't they? They were crisp with every
they
pass.
They started very well,
It was they were two up. I think they just got tired halfway through the half, and I think that gave us a bit of confidence and really got back in the game. I think they really slowed down. You could really see it. Like, their passes weren't as crisp.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think a lot of that was, for me, one of the big positives was the players who starred for Australia were all young players. Obviously, Cahill was his usual aerial threat, and Bresciano was solid. But we expect that from those guys. Mm. But I thought Sporanovic was immense. I thought Lecky was fantastic as well. So really good signs from those guys. And Davidson, we were talking about just off air, as a player that we can see playing a lot of football for Australia at left back.
What I loved is that all three players actually mentioned as our players to watch yesterday.
That's true. And yeah, yes. I didn't think of that. But yes, we did say that yesterday. They're our players to watch. So fantastic. I thought, I mean, you talked up Sporanovic yesterday. He was just class today. Not at fault for any of the goals himself.
Even Wilkinson stepped up his game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought Wilkinson was good as well. I thought both central defenders were fantastic. And it was just a shame that those first two goals were really out to... I think we can kind of discount the third one. It was on the break. And if we're playing our normal game plan, there isn't that space in behind for them. But the first two goals was, wow, there was a lot of ball watching going on.
Yeah, it was. The first goal was actually a bit strange because we had like five players in the box, but the truth was the ball...
There was seven. I counted them. Yeah.
But the ball actually wasn't in a position to be cleared by them. It was just the case of the rebound off that first header went straight to a Chile player. And, you know, yes, you say, well, where's the guy coming to close him down, but in, you know, 99 situations out of 100, our defenders were actually in the right place for that situation. It's just the luck of the draw with that one, which is unfortunate, and obviously the quick second goal.
But I think Ryan's probably disappointed to be beaten at his near post after getting a hand on it, and it wasn't a furious shot from Sanchez, it was a side foot, so he'd be disappointed with that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because he'd be disappointed that whole play, because when he came out, he didn't collect the ball in the first place, and he came back as quickly as he could, but he was on the back foot when the shot was taken, so he put the hand out but didn't have the full momentum to push it out. We'll be disappointed, but it's not the end of the world. You know, he's a great keeper, obviously, and let's be honest, Ant has had this side for a couple months.
Yeah,
he's been in charge of the national side for a couple months, had them for a couple weeks. Imagine what he's going to do in 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Chile, obviously, like you said, Pat, started really well, started to fade, and the coach was feeling the strain. Obviously, some sort of hangover, maybe.
Yeah, yes, from the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
From his performance.
Yeah.
If you didn't notice, he's actually looks like a lot like Pitbull.
Yeah, I think he is Pitbull.
I think he is as well.
I said during the second half that he hadn't been in an atmosphere this tense since he was the guy off MasterChef. So, very, very tense finish to the game.
Did you notice the... Seal was actually the referee.
Yeah, that's right. Someone put on Twitter, I'm sorry if I can't remember who said it, but someone said that he's agreed to listen to Mark Milligan's demo tape after the game, which I thought was very funny. So we should also mention our Prime Minister sending his message of support to the boys.
Ange and Mike.
Mike Yednak, Max Marsden from the Football Sack.
Matt Marsden.
Matt Marsden, sorry. I have two friends. One's name's Max and one's name Matt. Matt said that he was just changing it to make it less asylum seekerish and anglicise it up a little bit, which is in line with his policies. So at least he's sticking to his guns, which is good. So anything else to add on the game? I thought late in the game, Craig Foster really wanted Australia to push forward. I don't know if you heard that in the commentary, but basically...
I don't think they had legs.
Yeah.
They were struggling.
In the commentary, all you could hear was, all right, push, push, push. Go on now.
Well,
go on.
What you didn't realise is Bashir's wife has actually given birth in the background.
He's midwifing during the game. Guy's talented.
I loved it when he was saying that... Cahill was looking hungry. He was saying that. He kept saying that about 10 minutes. He's hungry.
I saw he skipped his pre-match meal.
Well, he's a growing boy. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I should also mention another of our Football Snack staff, Neil Sherwin, made his comment early in the game that Rolf Harris has a better defence than we do. Just to continue the theme of Rolf Harris-related jokes from earlier in the show. Yeah. Of course, really enjoyed SBS's social hub crosses. Mm. Yeah, I think after the game they said that the only place to find out what's happening online during the game is to go into the social hub. I thought, well, you could probably just jump online, really, if you want to see what's going on online. Yeah.
No. Seriously, the only place in the entire internet you can get information on the World Cup is SBS's social hub.
Yeah.
You didn't get that memo?
No, I didn't.
I can't believe they've got a whole segment on it.
Yeah. they crossed to the bloke at Star Casino, I think it was. He goes, oh, it's packed here, you can't stand, you can't sit. So I can't feel standing right behind him. I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I can't stand or sit. Maybe when you're having like an MRI, but that's about the only time.
But if you're not standing, you're not sitting, what are you doing? Like, do you have to lay down to watch the game?
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
I've just got on the ceiling, it's the only place you can watch it.
Yeah. You notice when
you can risk, you can stand there and hurt your neck, or you can do the smart thing and lay down and watch the game.
You notice when they cross the Star City, Zeljko Kalac was sweating?
I think that's goal of the tournament.
Oh, that's fantastic. Get my shit together and keep talking. All right, sorry, listeners. Let's move on, shall we? So to wrap up the Socceroos' performance, we're extremely proud. I'm wearing my shirt today with pride, even though I wore it yesterday. It's a bit dirty. That we take on the Netherlands, so we should talk about the Netherlands who dismantled Spain. That's a game that will be talked about for a long time.
Yeah, it will, but at least we know we're going to smash Spain when we play them.
Yeah, well, that's right. What we need, I did the maths before, a point against the Dutch, and then Spain to bounce back and beat Chile. So that comes down to our last game. We can beat Spain. That should give us 4 points and give us a shout if the Netherlands can also beat Chile. That should mean that Spain and Chile both finish on 3 points, we finish on 4, and go through.
Well, hey, you got me confused. I don't know what's going on.
That's not hard.
It's in the bag, mate. It's in the bag.
Yeah, absolutely. So Some of these goals. Robin van Persie's header. Let's start with that.
Oh,
best header you've ever seen?
Oh, it's got to be.
That's the best salmon I've ever seen.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen. The best two Dutch goals, famous for playing beautiful football, and we're not counting Van Basten's, because I think that was a European Championships, yes, his volley. So we'll go from World Cups. The best two Dutch goals I've ever seen have been Bergkamp's against Argentina in 98 and Van Persie's today. Both of them just long balls from the halfway line. Insane. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
It is, but the thing is, with the Netherlands styles, it's effective possession, not necessarily possession. So if there's
it's an accurate pass. It's just a very long, accurate pass.
Correct. Yeah. So if that pass is available and you don't hit it via the curriculum, you've actually done the wrong thing.
Yes.
What a lot of coaches don't understand, which is good to see Netherlands scoring off them.
It was great. Well, their first three goals were two long balls and a set piece. So more than one way to skin a cat. And Spain, we'll go to you, Christian, for a tactical sort of insight. Where did it fall apart? Was it just them chasing the game? Because it wasn't a case of them throwing bodies forward and space at the back. There were bodies there and Robin was just tearing them apart. And it's not like we didn't know what he was going to do. He's going to burn you on the outside, cut inside and shoot.
Yeah, correct. Well, I mean, the thing is, Robin, you know what he's going to do, but to stop it is just another thing altogether. And I mean, like you said, we've got two set pieces and a long ball. Suddenly, there's three goals. You know, all of Spain's, any dominance they had, it doesn't matter anymore because they're three bloody goals down. So they have to start pushing forward. They have to start really attacking. And then Robin can just hit them on the break. I mean, that one stage, you saw him, it was 2-on-1 in the entire attacking half.
Yes, that's right, yeah. But that's the thing, even with two defenders, you can't stop him. He's too quick. It's ridiculous. We should talk about FIFA's use of goal line technology. In this tournament, they're adamant that you need to show it for every goal.
Yeah, and I'm glad because when the ball ripples the back of the net and the goal's gone on the scoreboard and we're actually 3 minutes in the next phase, I'm not sure if we scored yet.
This is my gripe with it. Two main gripes. Number one is, that Spanish penalty was adamant it didn't cross the line. The keeper picked it up out of the net. I thought, I'm not celebrating until I can see the replay here. Replay showed over the line. Celebrate. The other point you raised is, they show it like 2 minutes after the goal. We're back in the game. What if it hasn't crossed the line? It's too late. So the players are off at half time. So, everyone lost their shit when Van Persie scored that brilliant header, but I didn't. I wanted to see the replay first. Let's not. You don't want to celebrate and then get called back.
So. Yeah, correct. It's just like the NRL. Yeah, if you celebrate a try and it goes back to no try, and you feel like it's a goose
awkward.
For celebrating.
Absolutely awkward.
How can you, look the person next to you in the eye, knowing that you celebrated a goal that wasn't a goal?
Absolutely. Well, to be fair, I did it with Tim Cahill, second header this morning.
Oh yeah,
I was out of my seat. So
tell you what, though, how good was Alex Wilkinson's clearance?
It was fantastic, wasn't it? Yeah, I was screaming at Matt Ryan to come off his line and claim it. He came off his line, didn't claim it, but Wilkinson was fantastic. So, and that was great. And everyone at FIFA was going, cross the line, we want to use the technology. And he's cleared it. So, but they still used it and showed that it was no goal.
Did you notice, like, the TV directors, like, they'll show the Chilean coach, and they'll just have the camera on him for about 20 seconds.
This was really
then you
miss
out on about 30 seconds of football.
Yeah, they showed the...
That made no sense, I said. 20 seconds and they miss out 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's just with the time delay. Absolutely. I think I tweeted it during the game. The fourth official's talking to someone on the bench and you can just hear the commentators say, Bresciano, he's got Lecky, and you're thinking, show the bloody... We don't get the ball for very long. I want to see us when we have it. So,
and also, I didn't know Chile was actually on the Gold Coast. You notice every player had full arm tats?
Yeah, that's right. What's going on? And their haircuts with like the detail cut into it.
Yeah, obviously being the culture kings.
Yeah. So, yeah, beautiful Chile in the sunshine state of Australia. So, fantastic. The other game also we should quickly mention was Mexico beating Cameroon. A couple of goals, 1-0, but probably could have had a couple of other goals. We've only seen the highlights, I won't lie. I did get up to watch it, but then fell asleep during it. I woke up enough to see the goal. But I'm glad to see that they did have goals disallowed because I woke up half awake to watch the Spanish game and in my head I could see Mexico scoring from a header, but then I saw the Mexico goal and I saw the scoreline at full time. Thought I must have dreamt it, but I didn't. So I'm sure that's very interesting to everybody who's listening at home. Is that all of today's games covered?
Yep.
Do we want to talk about tomorrow? There's four games, isn't there?
Well, the only game, really, I think, Uruguay-Costa Rica speaks for itself. Cote d'Ivoire-Japan will be a great game.
Yes, it will.
Greece-Colombia will be a snooze fest. And England versus Italy will be quite interesting.
Yes, so I'll probably get up just before the England-Italy game, I'd imagine, and watch that. And then
I'll obviously see a bit of Uruguay, Costa Rica, I think, and then watch the second match. And then we'll be recording while the third match is being played.
Yes, so we'll probably be watching it in the studio here.
Excellent.
While we're recording. So you can listen to us just not saying much because we'll be watching a game of football, which is good. It could be like the social hub.
Yeah,
just cross live to the thing.
We'll
is,
be the only place in the whole internet where you can listen to the game.
Yeah, you can listen to people listening to a game.
Absolutely.
I'm watching the game. I know what people watching the game look like. They look like me. I don't need to see other people watching the game. I'd rather watch the game. But that's. Do you know why? What's the thought process behind the social hub?
I'm guessing it's because there's sponsors behind it, so they need to pretend to the sponsors that it works. Look, social hub, people, money, yay!
Mm. Oh, the cynic that is.
And a big thank you to the sponsors of Football Sack. Your money is great value.
We should also run through our sponsors who give us money, money,
people.
Who include, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Banking on Football and Arrivederci's Pizza. That was packed out this morning in Brisbane for the Socceroos
game. Absolutely huge. Only, yeah, no sitting, no standing room. Laying only. They did the ceiling trick. Yeah.
They had to feed them pizza through a tube because apparently at social hubs, there's no room. You can't do standing, can't do sitting. Mm-hmm. But
Italian-based restaurants, I get there for the England-Italian game.
Yeah, you want to be there mental. For the Italy game, definitely. Mm. So if you're in Brisbane tomorrow morning, get down to Arrivederci's Pizza in Milton near Suncorp Stadium. It's going to be great. And Sports Management Group Australia.
Yeah, so they helped us get money.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So if your club needs money, go to SMG Australia.
Before Google. They came along, we had no
money. Go to Google smgaustralia.com and they can help out your club or your organisation to get the funds you need for your projects.
Cool. That's all the sponsor stuff done. We're going to call up Dean Heffernan and have a chat to him in just a moment. Joining us on the line is former Socceroo Dean Heffernan. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much.
How's retirement?
Retirement's good, mate. Just relaxing with family and, just getting a few things done around the house that haven't been touched for about a year. So, it's been good.
You haven't bought a Zimmer frame and joined the local bowling club?
No, not at all. I'm playing still, though. I'm playing down in... the Illawarra Premier League for a club called Bulleye. It's where I played when I was a junior and coming through. So back down there and just, it's good. It's, you know, I train a couple nights a week and play on a Saturday and then, you know, still have plenty of time to do other things during the day.
Beauty. Dan McBreen said when he was playing in China they had, it was National Respect Your Elders Day or something. His teammates threw him a party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, mate, have you seen Tony Abbott's video where he calls Mila Jednak Mike?
No, I haven't.
So what's happened is he sent a message of good luck to the Socceroos via video, and he managed to actually mix up the names and say Mike. So instead of Mila, so we gave him a bit of rubbish on our social media. So he sort of came and contacted us and said he wanted to set the record straight. So we told him that we're actually interviewing you. So he just wanted us to pass on this message and say that he gives his best wishes to yourself, Dylan, and he hopes you're really enjoying retirement.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate. You know what, though? I think Millet's name is actually Michael anyway.
Yeah, I heard that. Someone said that to me today as well. But
just because when we played in the Asian Champions League years ago with the Mariners, it was Michael something Gedenak.
Yeah, because you had to use like every name you ever had in your life, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's funny anyway.
If Tony Abbott knew Mila Jednak's real name, I'm a monkey's uncle.
Yeah, that's true.
Moving back onto the game, obviously the Socceroos, we had a few chances late in the game. And we just couldn't finish them off. We thought that we needed someone with a bit of a good strike rate. And yourself, obviously, you have an average of one goal every two games. You play for the Green and Gold. So what sort of, do you reckon you should have been on the field? Or if not, what sort of tips would you have given them?
Well, look, I probably have mentioned that once or twice over the years that I do have one in every two games. But, I was stoked how the boys went. Especially that second half, it was great. Tim Cahill did well, you know, really, are you going to take him off? I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe if he put on Taggart instead of Troisi at the end there and two strikers. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good.
I agreed. I was hoping to see Taggart just for maybe a knockdown more so than anything because Cahill was just dominating Medel in the air, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's so good. Like, just so good to watch him when he's like that. I remember even watching him when he just come on the pitch in Germany in 2006, just like the smiling ear to ear, like he knew he was going to friggin' change everything. And, you know, he has ever since, like, you know, for the last, you know, 8 or 9 years. He's brilliant.
It's mental to think that 8 years ago, Australia never scored a World Cup goal. He's now scored at 3 World Cups.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. And then you hear, like, on the news, them talk about Robben, first Dutch player to score at 3 World Cups. And, you know, the last World Cup, Beckham, I think, was the first to score 3 World Cups for England. So, like, it's not like it happens every
day. No, he's in good company.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Hey, mate, being an old left-back yourself, what do you think of Jason Davison? He looked pretty good out there, didn't he?
Quality, mate. He just grew into the game so much. And, you know, he'd been threatening to play a game like that since he's been in the setup, I think. And just the way he moves the ball and gets little one-twos going. If he can get a bit better combination going with Tommy Orr, I think, you know, that'll be massive for us because... Yeah, I just think, you know, it'd be great if someone like Harry Kewell could get his hands on Tommy Orr, just even if it was just for a few days or a week, just to talk to him, you know, help him, and because he's got so much ability, I just think he needs a bit of a arm over the shoulder, and you know, he could be a massive player for us for the next few years as well.
Absolutely. Well, because Leckie was sort of the same, but he really actually stepped up today, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Like, and you know, he's been playing at a good level. Second Bundesliga is a great level, you know, he's been scoring goals there and doing well, and you know, we've got some exciting players there, and along with Robbie Cruz, who should be fit soon. But yeah, I just think, like you said, Davison was quality. I thought Wilco was outstanding as well, you know, the whole back line, and then McGowan coming in at right back. I thought he was quality, it just didn't change a thing. And you know, if anything, you know, he straight away was at the level of everyone else as soon as he got on the pitch, which was good.
Beautiful. Now, just a quick touch on, did you catch the 5-1 Netherlands match? And if so, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I did. I was just a little bit surprised. You know, I think, obviously, you know, everyone knows how Spain's going to play. And a lot of the talk for the Dutchies was how they were going to play and how they changed one or two things and tactically just to win the game. You know, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, just winning the game, getting the 3 points. And, you know, they did it well. You know, those cheeky little balls in between the two centre-backs, it worked a treat for them a couple of times, got them a couple of goals. And, you know, I think, Spain looked a bit tired as well. I don't know, like the Chileans did against us. So, you know, hopefully we've just prepared the best out of anyone. And we can get better from here.
How good is this World Cup, mate? Everyone's saying that going into the World Cup, right, well, it's Chile and Spain getting out, Netherlands are going to go home and Australia's going to get whipped. We've had Australia take Chile all the way this morning and the Netherlands have hammered Spain.
Yeah, and that's it. That's football, isn't it? And that's why we all love it. And, you know, to be honest, a bit of the talk leading up to it and things like that, it's really just pissed me off, you know, because the Aussies, like, I just think... Yeah, just especially people just write them off saying scoreline. Just you have to be positive, and at least our 23 players were, and the coaching staff, and a few other like fans, and everyone appreciates the effort they put in, and maybe they you know, will have a bit more support, positive support going into the next game.
I mean, because even some former players and some really recent former players have come out and sort of said that the Socceroos were no hopers. I mean, that's not what you want to hear from your teammates of a couple of months ago, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And like for me, it's not on. It's not on. You got to, like, I could never do that. And that's just me. Everyone's different. But even if I hadn't played for the last 10 years, I still would be 100% positive. Yeah, we can win this. We're going to do it. We're going to win 2-0. We're going to win 1-0. Whatever. I'm not going to go out and say, nah, we're going to lose. We're just not good enough. There's too big a gap. Blah, blah, blah. That's rubbish for me.
So in that case, how many are we going to beat the Dutch boy?
What's that?
If that's the case, how many are we going to beat the Netherlands boy?
2-1. 2-1.
Beautiful. That sounds like a good night to finish on. Thanks for your time, Dana.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for that, guys.
Cheers.
Take it easy.
Cheers,
have a good one. Bye. See you, boys. Bye.
There you go. You heard it here first. Australia 2, Netherlands 1. Get on it.
What a great bloke Dino is.
he's not bad on the interview, is he? Handles himself all right.
Yes.
You reckon he might be angling for a career in the media?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I'd get him on. All right, boys. Well, we've all got things to do, and I'm sure that the people listening have got things to do that I'm sure they can do with their headphones in anyway. But we should get out and get this podcast online so that people can listen to it, and we'll be back in here. Are we in tomorrow? I think not.
We are in tomorrow. We've got four games tomorrow.
That's right. We're doing the in the studio. Yeah, that's right. Oh, four games. Oh, jeez. We'll do well to cram that for 15 minutes. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in once again. We'll see you tomorrow on the Football Sack Podcast.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.